And welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears, and I want to thank you for being a part of our program as we are on the brink of another presidential election, and I have remained silent throughout the process here on this radio program. Today, I break my silence. I am as concerned as probably most Americans about the upcoming election, and I think that the two candidates that are presenting themselves for election in this process says a little bit about where America is. And so this program is going to be about America on the brink. Yeah, you heard me, America on the brink. But before we get into any of that, just want to again thank you for being here with us. If you'd like to contact us by email, it's whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook, What's Important Now Radio Program or Radio Show. I'd love to hear from you. I want to get right to it. First, and I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this. I think that you have enough as far as resources, and you're probably, like many Americans, you're ready for this thing to be over. But I just want to talk about where we are right now currently, and as I'm recording this radio program on the third day of November, a Thursday evening, I realize that by the time you hear this on Sunday, that it could everything could have changed. We're living in that type of world, and it's that type of sort of political climate that we are witnessing in this country. And I think that, you know, it could change. So this is where we are right now. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time because I have far more important things to get to. But first, currently, and this is according to realclearpolitics.com, and I can tell you that as I've covered presidential elections in the past, this has been one of the websites that I have went to, because it takes all those polls, those individual polls that you see, and kind of puts it together and creates what's called a real clear average. And so currently, what we have, if you look at the electoral map, now I know a lot of the polls are are beginning to show that the gap is thinning between Secretary Clinton and Donald Trump. But and some polls, by the way, have Donald Trump leading. And again, this could be changed by the time you hear all this. But this has been a presidential election that has been riddled in scandal and has just been blanketed with controversy. And it continues. You have Secretary Clinton, in many ways, under the threat of indictment for the second time, by the way, for the second time. And you have Donald Trump, who clearly has said some very controversial things. And there's a lot we don't know about him. And then, of course, you have Secretary Clinton, who we know a whole lot about. And I think that's part of the problem. But anyway, if you're expecting me to endorse a candidate on this program today, go ahead and turn the station, because it's not going to happen. I'm not even going to tease you that I'm going to endorse a candidate. It's not like that. I am going to briefly talk about this election, and then I want to talk about how far we have fallen, how far we have come from the beginning of our nation, our foundations that that have brought us to this moment that I like to call America on the brink. With all of that said, looking at Real Clear Politics, and again, this is November the 3rd, 2016. Right now, if the election were held today, again, according to Real Clear Politics, Secretary Clinton would have 226 Electoral College votes, and Trump would have 180. That is with the electoral map having Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Iowa, Ohio, New Hampshire, I believe it's the second district in Maine, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida currently in the toss-up category. But if you take a look at some of the polls, what you see is in Arizona, Trump is up 4. In Colorado, Clinton is up almost 3 points. It's a statistical dead heat, a tie in Florida. Iowa, Trump is up 1.4 points. In Nevada, Trump is up 2 points. In New Hampshire, who would have ever believed this, Hillary Clinton is up by only 0.8. 0.8, not even a full percentage point. North Carolina is a statistical tie. Ohio, Trump is up 3.3. In Pennsylvania, Clinton is up 3 points. In Virginia, Clinton is up 4.7 points. And in Maine, that congressional district 2, Clinton is up 0.7. In Georgia, Trump is up 5.6. Indiana, Trump up almost by 10 points. Okay, and that's really all the farther I need to go with that. So if I go to the Real Clear Politics electoral map and I begin to just, based on this, on the polls as they are, I begin to enter the information that I just gave you, and I begin to change the map, the toss-ups, to where they are if the election were held today. And I go through and I change Florida. If I, just for the heck of it, give it to Trump, if I give North Carolina to Trump, and I give Virginia to Hillary Clinton, Pennsylvania, Clinton, if I give New Hampshire, Clinton, and in Maine, if I go Republican. Basically what you have, if you enter that information, that's with Trump winning Nevada, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Ohio, and the second district in Maine. If the election were held today, that's 278 Clinton and 260 Donald Trump. It's really, really close. And, you know, one of those, some of those states are in play that we never, ever imagined they would be in play. And really, I think the problem is that a lot of Americans just really can't make up their mind. Well, that's one side. And then you have the other side where most Americans have already made up their minds. Hopefully, you know, you have studied the issues. And I can tell you, and this is not an endorsement of anyone, I have stated to those who know me that I am not a fan of either candidate. With that being said, there is one issue that always rises to the surface for me. I'm not ashamed to talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it, because I'm a firm believer in life. And if we cannot value life, I do not believe we can value anything. And during, I think, the last presidential debate, Hillary Clinton seemed to indicate that she would be okay with an abortion that is that happens all the way up to 9 months, and has been on the record as saying that a presidential candidate, or excuse me, rewind, has been on the record as saying that a baby that's still in the mother's womb does not have constitutional rights. I disagree wholeheartedly. I'm not certain how a person can find themselves believing that it's okay. That's me. That's where I stand on that issue, and it guides me. It really, really guides me. With that being said, that is not an endorsement of Donald Trump. That is not, yes, go support Donald Trump. That's me saying that those are the values that guide me. But anyway, enough of all that, because you've heard plenty of that already, haven't you? You can turn it on to any television station, and you can see the mess. And ladies and gentlemen, Lord willing, it's going to be over on Tuesday, and America is going to be standing there left to pick up the pieces. And one of those individuals is going to be the next president of the United States. Maybe under threat of indictment, maybe lack of temperament, but one of those individuals is going to be the leader of our country. And when I think of that, it immediately brings me to this thought that if you compare either one of them to some of the presidents of the past, you really start to realize that our country has fallen so far that in many ways we've lost values. And that's why today I believe America is on the brink. Now, America, with that being said, a lot of people will say, well, he's doom and gloom. Nope, not at all. Because actually what I'm going to say today is that I think that actually what's about to happen is revival is about to happen in America. And here's why I believe that. If you're a student of the Word of God, you see that difficult times and persecution and circumstances have led to great moves of God. And that's kind of where I'm at. I think that either way, whoever becomes president, number one, no matter who becomes president, whether they do a great job or a horrible job, America's in a big hole. America's got a problem. We have lost our way. And because we've lost our way, I don't know, I just think that we've created this mess. And there's only one way to get out of it. And I think that as the mess continues, and in many ways probably gets worse, I think God's going to begin to reveal himself to this nation once again. And I have a firm belief in that, and it's founded in something. And it's founded, and I've got to go back a little bit of time. I've got to, well, not just a little bit of time. I've got to travel all the way back to April the 30th, 1789. And if you're not familiar with that date, that's the date that President George Washington delivered his inaugural address to both houses of Congress. Now, he had just taken the oath to become the president with his hand on the Bible on the balcony of the Federal Hall in New York City. And he began to say some things. But his hand, and this is interesting, his hand was on Deuteronomy chapter 28. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, and this is, I actually did not look at it before I came on the program, but if I'm not mistaken, that's the chapter where God instructs his people that if they will follow him, there's a bunch of ifs in there. If you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll trust in me, I'm going to bless you. It's about blessing and cursing. And George Washington, understanding this, began to speak, and here's what he said. He said, "Such being the impressions under which I have, in obedience to the public summons, repaired to the present station, it would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes, and may enable every instrument employed in its administration to execute with success the functions allotted to his charge. In tendering this homage to the great author of every public and private good, I assure myself that it expresses your sentiments not less than mine own, nor those of my fellow citizens at large, less than either. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. And in the important revolution just accomplished, in the system of their united government, the tranquil deliberations and voluntary consent of so many distinct communities from which the event has resulted cannot be compared with the means by which most governments have been established. Without some return of pious gratitude, along with a humble anticipation of the future blessings which the past seem to see, we ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps finally, staked on the experiment." This is President George Washington, April 30th, 1789, in his famous inaugural address to both houses of Congress. He's taken the oath of office, and it's important that he reminds the people. He feels it vitally important to remind the people that the successes of our nation, quote, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States." Isn't that amazing? He said, every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. What he's saying is that there was no people on this earth that could say more than the people of the United States that God governs in the affairs of men. And he went on to say that every step was distinguished by God, that God was intervening. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that with all of my heart, that God did intervene. And as a matter of fact, I'm a firm believer that in the history of the world, two nations have been created for godly purposes. One, Israel, and we can read about that in the Bible. And number two, America. America, founded and ordained of God to be a light to the world. But the thing is that the light is fading. Things are changing. And here we are, America on the brink. Now, when I say America on the brink, I actually do believe there are going to be some difficult days ahead. And I know people don't want to hear this, but I do. I believe that there are some difficult days ahead. But I believe that those days ahead, the difficult times, are going to produce some things that God himself is going to do in our country once again. Because it's often been said that when you're lying on your back, the only place that you can look is up. And I want to point to a spiritual revival that has taken place in southern West Virginia. In southern West Virginia, it's my understanding that God has been moving in that area in a mighty, mighty way. And if you think about the economic hardships that the people of that area have suffered, it's very clear that we understand that in difficult times, we must turn to God. America is still a people of faith. We've lost our way. We're wandering in the wilderness a little bit. And we're in jeopardy of losing the promised land. But George Washington and other founding fathers clearly noted, without a doubt, that we are a people that if we forget to allow God in our lives, our public lives, that we are going to be a nation, as Ronald Reagan said, that's going under. Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we will see that we're a nation going under. It's amazing. A lot of people say that our founding fathers were not Christian. George Washington, he kept a journal, a prayer book, and you can read these things. You can read these things. And it's been said that George Washington, he looked at America much like Solomon looked at the temple and felt it necessary to dedicate America to God. George Washington had some other thoughts about America. He said, quote, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. He also said it is impossible to account for the creation of the universe without the agency of a supreme being. It's impossible to govern the universe without the aid of a supreme being. It is impossible to reason without arriving at a supreme being. He goes on to say that religion is as necessary to reason as reason is to religion. The one cannot exist without the other. A reasoning being would lose his reason in attempting to account for the great phenomenon of nature had he not a supreme being to refer to. He was a deeply religious man. And I, without a doubt, I believe that he witnessed firsthand some of the greatest struggles that our country has ever endured. And he saw God move. That's why he was able to talk about that hand of providence moving, that hand governing in the affairs of men. He remembered. You think about when the British troops, they descended on Boston. And the Continental Congress, they had an official act. Their first official act was to open in prayer. That was on Tuesday, September 6, 1774. They opened in prayer. this has been something that is, as you just go down through time and you look, you see that America has been founded upon godly principles. Now, what some may understand and others will not understand is that when you dedicate to God, God is a covenant God. When you make a covenant or a vow to God, it's expected to be kept. Now, God will keep his end of the bargain, but we're not doing a very good job of keeping our end. And that's why Deuteronomy 28, where George Washington laid his hand on that Bible, he understood that if we followed God, we would be blessed, and if we did not, we would be cursed. And it was true for Israel, as we can read not only historically but in the Bible, and it's true for America today. There's no way that we can look at this nation and believe that we are as great as we once was. Now, I have to pause there because, again, we're on the eve of an election, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm jumping on the Make America Great Again. Actually, I am jumping on that bandwagon, but it's not Donald Trump's. I'm jumping on the bandwagon that if America wants to be great again, and I've said this for years on this program, then we must realize what made us great in the first place. And what made us great was that we believed and trusted in a great God. And if we're going to see God's hand move and bring us out of this place of financial despair and all the things that we are seeing in our country today, then we must return back to the old paths and look to him. Ladies and gentlemen, we must look to him once again. This election, if we believe that Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to fix us, we are wrong. It's going to take a return to Jesus Christ to fix us. I believe that with all of my heart. And I know, I hear the shoutings, I hear the voices saying if we just do this or we just do that or, you know, get off of your religious bandwagon. That's the thing, I'm not on a bandwagon. I have a relationship. America has been a nation that has been great because we have served a great God, and I'm very proud to live in this country. I'm very, very proud to live in this country. There's just no nation like it on earth. My point is that we are on the brink of losing that. It's happening right before our very eyes. We're neglecting the things that have made us great. George Washington understood this. George Washington understood that if we were going to be a great people, we must focus on a great God. If we were going to be a people that changed the world, then we were going to have to be a people that trusted in a great God. As history tells us, George Washington, after he was elected president in the capital at that time, New York City, he walked down to a little stone church, which, by the way, still stands today in New York City. He walks down to that church, and he begins to dedicate this nation to God and give America to God, dedicating this country to God, saying, "This nation will be for your purposes." Wow, that's a huge, huge statement. That was one of the first things that George Washington did as our president. And now we're doing everything we can to run God out in the name of religious freedom. Listen, I have always said people should believe what they want to believe. The issue I have is that we are running God out. We are running him out. And Christians are on the run as well. On April 23rd, it was announced to the nation that at 9 a.m., the church bells across the nation would ring for a half an hour, calling the entire nation to go to their houses of worship and to commit the new government to God. The Daily Advertiser of New York reported, on the morning of the day on which our illustrious president will be invested with his office, the bells will ring at 9 o'clock when the people may go up to the house of God in a solemn manner, commit the new government and its important train of consequences as the holy protection and blessing of the Most High. An early hour is prudently fixed for this peculiar act of devotion and is designed wholly for prayer. After that, George Washington was sworn in, and following was his inaugural address. This newly inaugurated president, George Washington, his first act as president was to lead on foot the vice president and the members of the Senate and the House of Representatives to St. Paul's Chapel, the little church I told you about. It was at St. Paul's that our nation was dedicated to God. Our newly founded government joined our president along with the rest of the nation upon bended knee and in solemn prayer asked for God's favor and blessing upon this nation. It was at that time that our nation was committed by our leader and the people to God Almighty. It is at that very moment that the ground with which our nation was dedicated became hallowed ground. This ground was from that point on, it became a special landmark. Like the temple where Solomon had dedicated Israel to her people, so did our first president. Following Solomon's example, his first official act of our nation was to dedicate this nation to God. Never let us forget what our foundation really is. Ladies and gentlemen, I know there are a lot of people trying to pluck that foundation up, trying to remove it, trying to whitewash or bleach over American history. It's happening all around us. But hear me today. Our first president understood, and the leaders of our country went from Federal Hall by foot and walked down to St. Paul's Chapel and began to dedicate this nation to God. But it was not only in that city, it was not only in that place. All people of our country were called at 9 o'clock a.m. to get on bended knee and pray for our country. That sounds like a great thing for us to do here on this eve of a presidential election. In 2 short days from the moment that you hear this radio program, we will elect a new president of the United States. And there will be challenges no matter who wins. There will be situations. And our country will need more than ever that almighty hand that George Washington talked about. We'll need that guidance and that protection. Would you join with me even right now as we pray for our country? Father, I believe with all of my heart that we are living in a time where we need you more now than ever. There may only be a few of us hearing this today, or maybe there's many more, but I pray with all of my heart that you will accept this act, this prayer, as a group of individuals that say, we know we've messed up. We know that we have forgotten you. We know that we need you. And Father, will you heal our land? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for listening to the radio program. Make sure you vote. Go vote. God is good, and we should trust in him. Thanks for listening to the program. I'm Tom Sears, and don't forget, fight the good fight of faith. There is a cause. Contend for the faith. It does matter, and it is important now. Tune in next week. We will continue to fight the good fight of faith and battle for the very soul of America. Until next week, this has been What's Important Now. God bless.